I'm excited about preaching tonight. I don't always get to say that. Sometimes you know, probably not the right thing to say. Sometimes you dread having to say what the Lord wants you to say. To be honest with you, tonight is not that way. I'm excited about getting to preach and excited about what the Lord showed me this afternoon. I'm going to do my best to try to get this all out to you and try to give the truth. It's still growing on me. It's still growing in my mind and my heart. And there's a lot here that I probably won't even get to tonight, but there's a lot in his book. So John chapter 6, if you will stand, verse number 1. We covered a lot of ground this morning, all through chapter number 5. I'm not going to try to do that tonight. Chapter 6 is 71 verses, and if I did that, we'd probably still be here tomorrow. So we're stopping verse number 15. But John chapter 6, verse number 1. And these things, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Let me read that again. I messed that up. And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Jesus knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make them men sit down. And there was much grass in this place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said to the disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed into a mountain himself alone. You can be seated. We're thinking of this day, thing already done for us. Thank you, Lord, allow us to be here tonight. Lord, I pray as I preach. I pray you give me words to say here. Lord, I pray you guard my tongue and my mind. Lord, I pray you help me say what I need to say and don't say what I don't need to say. Lord, I pray you work here tonight in hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Unlike this morning's passage, John is the only one that recorded this morning's passage. This passage here tonight is one that was recorded by all 4 Gospels. It's important enough that every one of the Gospel writers were all each inspired by the Holy Ghost to write down this miracle from their point of view. It's one of the only few that's done that way. They all wrote it down. It's very important. This passage has been preached multiple times. I preached it myself here before on giving God your lunch, and that lad with the lunch coming prepared to serve the Lord. This little boy, out of all the 5,000 men plus the women and children there, he's the only one apparently that came prepared for the day, came prepared this day. A lot of message you could preach out of this passage of Scripture, and I've done that myself. Many of them have been preached before. This passage of Scripture been preached many, many, many times. You would think that would make it simpler to preach on, but it does not. Makes it much harder. I don't want to preach something that's just warmed over for you. I want to give you something fresh from the Word, something God has given me to give to you. And I take that very seriously, so that makes it very difficult in passages like this when they've been preached on so many times. And even I myself have preached on it before. I want to give you something fresh from the Word of God that He would have me give to you. So what can I say that I haven't already said here in this passage of Scripture? And I pray that way this afternoon, the Lord gave me something here. Well, I've preached on this passage not from the book of John, but from Mark. I believe it was the same miracle there. And I focus in on the boy and giving the Lord your lunch. Well, tonight I want to try to follow the gospel of John here. And John's gospel, he focuses on Jesus Christ and the fact that he is the Son of God. And I'm trying to do the same thing here tonight. It's going to be a little different title tonight. It'll make more sense as we go along. Lord, I'm going to preach just for a few minutes tonight on, are you willing to share your table then? And well, that'll make a lot more sense as we go along. Now, this morning in chapter 5, we are left in Jerusalem. In chapter 6, he is crossing the Sea of Galilee. There's some information that's left out there. And John here, in an effort to focus on the proving Jesus is the Son of God, he's focusing on the fact that Jesus is God, he's Son of God. He doesn't cover every bit of Jesus' ministry. Most believe chapter 6 to be 1 year later than chapter number 5. And that would make sense here for what we can read. There are 3 mentions of the Passover in Jesus' ministry. This is the second time in this passage that's mentioned in the book of John. The first one was there at the temple while he's casting over the tables. Here he's not even in Jerusalem. He's up in a mountain on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And then we'll see him again in chapter 11 there at the Passover in Jerusalem. But there are a lot more things that have taken place in between chapter 5 and chapter 6 before the Passover. You can read a lot about those over in Mark and Luke. They cover those miracles that he did. You read about the Sermon on the Mount over in Matthew. That was in between chapter 5 and chapter 6 of John. Many works Jesus did, John doesn't record. Does that make John less accurate? No, of course not. John is just focusing in on some specific things that Jesus did to make us realize that he is the very Son of God. He's drawing us a picture. Remember, the Gospels are originally written to different people. Matthew to the Jew. And then you have the Greeks and the Romans and Gentiles from Matthew, from Mark and Luke. And then John as well is to the Gentiles, but it's to the church. It's the main audience that we see. This is written to focus on things that we need to know and understand. Christ is the very Son of God, the Son of Man, God in the flesh. We need to understand that as believers of Christ, as a church, we need to understand who he is, the Savior of the world. Jesus has been very busy in his ministry. His disciples have been very busy as well, and he is instructing them to come apart and rest. That's what he's doing here. That's what's left out at the beginning of chapter number 6. They have been busy. They've been working, performing a lot of miracles, traveling around, and they're supposed to be coming apart into a desert place, Mark says, to rest. It's in Mark chapter 6, verse number 31. I'm going to take this coat. I'm not dignified, but it's hot. Mark 6:31, he says, "And he said to them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going that had no leisure so much as to eat. Disciples are so busy they can't even get a bite to eat. And they depart into a desert place by ship proudly." Mark calls it a desert. John calls it a mountain. We'll get to that later as well. "And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all the cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him." He's going across the sea on a boat, and all these people are running around the Sea of Galilee, the Lake of Gennesaret, Sea of Galilee, same place there, running all the way around and up into the mountain to try to meet Jesus when he gets to the other side. It says in verse 34, "And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were sheep not having a shepherd, and began to teach them many things." These men are tired. Jesus is in his flesh here, and no doubt his flesh was tired. They don't even haven't had a chance to eat any food. They come across the sea just to try to get a break so they can rest for a little while. But this crowd, this multitude of people are coming around the Sea of Galilee to meet Jesus when he gets across. They've seen all he can do. They don't want to miss out on anything that Jesus can do for them. Jesus sees them. He's moved with the compassion of his multitude, it says, because they followed him around. They moved with the compassion of sheep having no shepherd. He tries to go up into the mountain. This crowd just runs around the lake. See, again, they're going up there, following up into the mountain. They're following Jesus. And that brings us into chapter number 6 of John here, where John picks up. Number one, in this chapter, we see, we're going to look at a couple different things and then get to the main point of the message. Number one, we see the problem that arises. Chapter 6, verse number 1. "After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee," which is the Sea of Tiberias, "and a great multitude followed him because he saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And the problem. See, the problem has come up. These folks, John leaves out here. Jesus has been teaching these people. He's moved with compassion in them because they were sheep having a shepherd, and then began to teach them. He's been preaching all day to them, teaching all day to them. Jesus has been working. He's no doubt tired. The disciples are already tired, but this multitude, probably even a bigger crowd now that Jews are headed to Jerusalem for Passover, this crowd has probably grown. Want to know what in the world's going on. And now the crowd themselves are tired and hungry. Jesus has fed them spiritually. Now he's going to feed them physically. "When shall we buy bread that these may eat?" I don't know about you, but I found this in my own, found in my own life. Jesus not only cares for my spiritual health, he cares for my physical and mental health as well. God's been good to me. Has God been good to you, church? He's blessed me. You can't outgive God. He'll bless you more than you can imagine. I was reminded this week of how good God's been to, how much he's blessed me in my life. I don't even know what brought it to mind other than the Holy Ghost. I remember thinking back, and I'm not doing this any getting credit to myself. We were at a meeting, and the Lord burdened me to give some money to a preacher. Just that's what the Lord told me to do, so that's what I did. I didn't have much to give, but I gave. Wish I could have given more. Anyway, the next day, another preacher, unrelated, came to me and gave me double the amount that I gave to the first preacher. And it wasn't mine, so I took it and I gave it to somebody else. And the next day, next person came to me and gave me double the second amount I gave, four times the first time I gave. You can't outgive God. God's been good to me. Talk about return on your investment. I don't care about your 401k and IRA. That's a pretty good return on your investment. God's been good to me. I don't deserve a bit of it. God saw their needs. He saw their spiritual needs, but he saw their physical needs even before they asked for it. He wanted to feed them. That's a simple thought. We pass right over that. That's really profound here in the Scriptures. Jesus saw the need before they needed it, saw it before they said anything about it, and he's looking and trying to figure out how to fulfill it. Church, if you'll listen to God, if you'll make an effort to follow after God, chase him around the lake, if you will, chase him up into the mountain, just follow him and do what he says. He'll bless you more than you can. He'll take care of every one of your needs that you have, spiritual. He'll take care of your needs, and he'll watch over you. He says, "Whence shall we buy bread?" Verse number 6. And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Jesus testing Philip's faith here. Philip sees a problem. Jesus already knows what's going to happen. He brings up the problem. He already has a solution in mind. We see the problem. Jesus already solved it. We see the solutions. There are four different solutions that are brought to the table here. I'm going to look at those real quick. Number one, the first solution that we see, not here in John particularly, but over in Mark, we see disciples say, well, let them fend for themselves. Mark 6:35 says, and when the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away that they may go into the country round about, into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. Mark calls it a desert place. The first solution is to send them home. The great disciples of God are tired, and they said, Lord, get them out of here. Send them home. Let them buy themselves some food. Honestly, that's probably what most of us would do. If I were being honest, that's probably what I would do. Lord, just send them home. Go find yourself some food. I don't have the food or the money to feed you. Go find it yourself. That's what the disciples said here. For some it may be, but the majority, I don't believe they were in poverty here. I believe they had the ability to feed themselves. I don't believe the poverty was a problem as far as the multitude is concerned. The disciples said, send them away. So the disciples' first answer to this problem is send them home. You can be honest, that's probably what most of us would think. Feed yourself. It's not my job. First solution. Send them home. Second solution we see is a Baptist brought up, apparently. He said, take up an offering. Philip here is obviously a Baptist, apparently. His first response, let's raise some money. We don't have enough money. We need more money. Verse number 7, Philip answered him, John 6, verse 7. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them. Every one of them may take a little. Philip was standing there looking around him, counting the people, doing some math in his head. He comes back with some numbers. He said, if we have 200 penny worth of bread, that's not even enough to give them each a little bit of bread. Lord, that's a lot of money. We don't have that kind of money. In that day, from what I've read, a penny worth is a day's wage for a man. So you're talking two-thirds of a year's salary for one man wouldn't even be enough money to give them a little appetizer. Philip, like a lot of us too, is too busy crunching the numbers. Lord, this just isn't going to work. Or those numbers don't work. We don't have the money. We need more money. That's the way most of us are. Well, I just don't see how this is going to work. Lord, I know what you're trying to do here. Lord, I don't know what you're trying. Lord, I know what you said. I know what you're desiring. I just don't see how this is going to fit into the budget here. Philip said, Lord, this don't fit in the budget. You want us to give to what? To missions, Lord? Lord, I can't afford that. That's why it's called faith promise. It's not a budget line item. No, don't get me wrong. I like budgets. And I'm a nerd when it comes to those kind of things. And I'm allergic to debt. I don't like those kind of things. I take it personal. I like those. Anyway, things with God don't have to fit into our calculators. God doesn't have to abide by our calculator. I've seen God take a little bit that was set apart for him and make a bunch out of it. And I've seen him take a bunch that was kept to themselves, kept in greed, and turn into a little bit. Maybe so. Maybe so. God works outside our calculator. Philip said, Lord, the solution is we need more money. Or I just need more money. Don't we all? You never have enough. Enough is never enough unless you learn to put it in God's hands. Where I don't have much, but what I have, you can have it. You take it, you multiply it, you do what you want to with it. God doesn't have to fit into our budget. Philip said, we need more money. Second solution. Third solution was Andrew. Finally, somebody with a little bit of faith here, maybe. He said, here's a lad. Verse number 8. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? Andrew comes with a little better solution. He doesn't know what all the Lord is going to do with it. He's feeling God's going to do something here. Andrew is always bringing people to Jesus. You see, Andrew in the Gospel of John, he's always bringing people to Jesus. In chapter 1, verse number 40 through 42, he's bringing Simon to Jesus. Chapter 12, you can see Philip bringing the Greek to Jesus. Again, Andrew's always bringing people to Jesus. They said, the Greek says, sir, we will see Jesus. Andrew said, let's go get him. Always working on bringing people to Jesus. Pretty good lesson to learn. Jesus was asking his disciples for a solution, not that he needed one, just testing their faith. And Andrew says, I've got a lad here with a little bit of food. This is all the food I can find. Lord, this is all I got. This is all I can find. Lord, I don't know what you're going to do with it, but here it is. Maybe we can do something with it. Getting a little closer to a solution here. You say, well, preacher, what am I supposed to do for God? I don't have anything. I don't have a lot of money, or maybe you think you don't have a lot of talent. Maybe you just don't have much. Andrew brings the lad in his lunch. He says, Lord, it's not much. I know you can do something with it. Just give yourself to him. Lord, I'm not much, but you bought me with a price. Well, here I am. Use me as you see fit. Lord, here I am. Send me, Isaiah said. Majority of his disciples said, send them home. Philip said, we need more money. Andrew says, I don't know what you're going to do with it, but here's a little bit. Then we see Jesus' answer, the answer he had the whole time, verse number 10. Jesus said, make the men sit down. There was much grass in the place, and the men sat down a number, about 5,000. And Jesus took a loaf, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise of all of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said to the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled the 12 baskets with the fragments of the five barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. You know what happened? We know the story here. Jesus took what was offered to him by Andrew, that little lad's lunch. He took it. He set the men down, the people down. He gave thanks. It's amazing how the Lord always giving thanks for his food to the Father before he passed it. You see that all through the scripture. He does again, verse 23 of the same chapter. Other gospels say he lifted up his eyes toward heaven and gave thanks. What is he doing? He's teaching the people. He said in chapter 5 this morning, without the Father, he can do nothing. He's thanking the Father for what he has done. A lesson for us all to learn. But what does Jesus do? He takes the bread and the fish. He gives thanks. He gave it to his disciples and told them to pass it out to all this great, huge multitude. It says there's 5,000 men, other gospel says, plus women and children, besides women and children. I don't know how many there were total. Every man was not, but just assume every man had a wife. And there's your number double, 10,000 people. Just assume every couple had two kids, which isn't the case, but just a round number, every couple had two kids. That's 20,000 people. You can see how quickly this number would multiply. I don't know how many there were there, but it was a lot of people. And these disciples are already tired, and they have not eaten. And now they're feeding probably tens of thousands of people, but 12 of them are. And then when they were done, they were instructed to pick up the leftovers. From five barley loaves and two small fish. The barley loaf is a small flat cracker, basically. And he multiplied it that far. What a God he is. We see his solution. His solution was more than enough. He's always more than enough. His solution amazed the people. Look at verse number 14. And those men, when they had seen the miracles that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. We just therefore perceive that they would come and take him by force to make him a king. He departed again to a mountain himself alone. And the men, after Jesus had performed the miracle and fed them, they wanted to crown him king. I promise I'm getting some of y'all. Hang with me a few more minutes. I know you're tired. They said, this is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. This is him. This is the one they believed on who he was. Jesus not willing for them to try to take him by force, left into the mountain by himself, got away from him. These folks were so amazed at the power of God, they wanted to crown him king right then and there on the spot. Again, this is what the Jews are looking for. They want a great ruler, a great leader that will lead their nation to freedom again, independence from Rome. They want a second coming of Christ. That's not going to happen in this passage. We saw that in chapter 5 this morning. That was not Jesus' goal while he was here on earth at this time. So he departed. Notice also Jesus' solution took some work. I've said this many times recently. Sometimes the ministry takes work. These disciples were weary, coming into the mountain to take a break because they haven't even eaten any food because they've been working so hard. And now they're feeding thousands of people and then picking up all the leftovers. Talk about a job. I don't know about how many of you have ever been to the Lumen Field in Seattle. I haven't been there. Seahawks Stadium there in Seattle. I did a little bit of studying this afternoon. It seats 67,000 people. That's how many fixed seats they have, 67,000 people. Disciples here earlier, we said it could be possibly 20,000, could be more, could be less. We don't know. We don't have any of their families are there. But anyway, there's some families there. So round number is 20,000 people in the Seahawks Stadium, all sitting down in a mountain field. And 12 people had to feed all of them. And then go around and pick up, that's two-thirds of the entire, or one-third of the entire stadium filled up with people. And 12 people had to feed every one of them. And then go around and pick up all the leftovers. And they're already tired, and they still haven't even eaten yet. Sometimes ministry takes work. Are you willing to work? Are you willing to be faithful to church when you don't want to? Are you willing to clean when you don't feel like it? Are you willing to scrub the toilet when you don't feel like it? You say, oh, I'm above that. No, you're not. Me either. Well, I'm too busy. You need to rearrange some things. Get unbusy. No room for lazy Christians in the ministry. So Jesus' solution, it worked. It fed the people. It amazed the people. And it put the disciples to work. Why? Because Jesus is moved with compassion on this multitude of sheep that had no shepherd. Are you willing to work so that sheep can have a shepherd? I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about him, the shepherd. No, this is good, and it's truth, but I know I'm boring you tonight. From other studies I've done, something here stuck out to me this afternoon that I've never put two and two together before. We saw the problem. We saw the solution to the problem. And lastly, we see the picture. What's the big picture here? Now, hold your place here in John. Need you to go back with me a little bit. It's been about a year and a half now. We'll see how good your memory is. Back in 2019, I preached through Psalms 23. Anybody remember that? Or at least maybe remember parts of that. I believe we can draw a parallel between Psalms 23 and this feeding of 5,000 people. Now stay with me. The Lord has just shown me this. I believe there's something here, a lot more than I can even understand. Hold your place there in John, turn back to Psalms 23. I know you know this passage, you can probably quote it. Psalms 23, verse number 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Okay, I think we all remember that passage. Maybe you remember a little bit about what we preached on. Hopefully you remember something anyway. Down in verse number 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, if you remember back that far, we talked about the shepherd and how the shepherd, normally an earthly shepherd, the picture we have here in the fall and winter time, when it's cold, his sheep is back at home at his home ranch. And that's what we see there in the beginning of verses, by the green pastures, by the still waters. Those pastures, right, those are at the home ranch. But in verse 4, something changes. With a shepherd in the spring and on into the summertime especially, the shepherd, the earthly shepherd, will take his sheep up into the mountains. You remember us talking about those things, hopefully. He would lead them through those valleys to get to the mountaintops. You can't experience the mountaintop without the valley first. We talked about this before, verse number 5. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. We looked at that a lot deeper as well. This table here, I believe, represents those tablelands in the mountaintops. We talked about all that. You can see that all throughout Europe and even the Western United States, those steep mountains with rough valleys and the tabletop mountains. And that's where the shepherd would lead his sheep. That's where the shepherd was aiming for, those tabletop, those tablelands. But this place was not without danger. There were weeds there. We talked about that. Some weeds that were poisonous to some sheep. One shepherd wrote that every spring him and his kids would go up for weeks into the tableland on their property, and they went on their hands and knees, pick up these little weeds that were poisonous for the sheep, prepare the table before the sheep. We talked about that. We saw how God goes before us, and he knows what lies ahead for us, and he knows the valley is rough and steep, and he has a rod and a staff to comfort us there, but he's preparing the table before us. He knows the tableland. He's leading us towards something. And he knows he's already prepared it for us. We might not know what's up ahead, but the shepherd does because he's been there before. All we have to do is go and rest in him, knowing that he's in control. He says, in the presence of mine enemies, we can rest in a lush tableland because we know the shepherd has prepared it for us, even in the face of the enemies. We talked about all those things before. Aren't you thankful in those times in life when you just know that God is blessing? Talked about that some tonight. There are a lot of valleys. Yes, there are valleys. In fact, there are two valley trips to get to the mountain. You got to come back down to the valley too. But it's worth it in the mountaintop. Hope you remember some of that now. Now back to our path. Well, first, turn to Mark chapter 6. Still going to go back to John here in a minute. Mark chapter 6 gives us the same miracle, but from his perspective. Mark chapter 6, verse number 32. Everybody okay tonight? You awake? And they departed into a desert place by ship privately, And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were sheep, not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. When the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, "This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about, into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." He answered unto them, "Give ye them to eat." And they said unto him, We go and buy 200 pennyworth of bread and give them to eat." He said unto them, "How many loaves have ye? And go and see." And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them all to sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. When he had taken the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And he took up 12 baskets full of fragments unto the fishes. And they did eat of the loaves, were about 5,000 men. Now, as Mark here telling us the same thing that John tells us as well. This is Mark's account of the story preached on in John chapter 6. Notice Mark, as well as Matthew, and as well as Luke, they called it desert place. It's very important. We're going to get back to that. Back in John chapter 6, so verse number 3, it just went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Back in John chapter, I'm going to get there myself. John chapter 6, I'm sorry, verse number 3. Trying to get all this out tonight. I hope I'm making sense. We'll get there. John says, Jesus went up into a mountain. Over 5,000 people there, all gathered around in a mountain. What is this? It has to be a tableland. A big, if 5,000 people at least are gathered together, this is a big open area on top of a mountain. John calls it a mountain. That word mountain, means a place elevated. That's what it means. It's a tableland. A big open field in the mountain. Wait, the other Gospels calls it a desert. That word desert means lonesome. Get to that in a minute. So Jesus brings his disciples into the tableland where he's prepared in his mind to feed them. Prepare the table before them. Prepare the table for the multitude. He's prepared the table. He's about to feed this multitude. He's going to feed his disciples with a lesson. Back in Mark chapter 6, what did Jesus call the multitude? Mark 6, 34, Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, was moved with compassion toward them because they were sheep, not having a shepherd, and began to teach them many things. He says, this multitude is a bunch of sheep falling up into the tableland, and they don't even have a shepherd. Later on, they're going to believe on Jesus. Later on this chapter, they're going to join the flock of God. These disciples, this isn't the first time they've seen Jesus work. This is the first time they've been to the tableland with the shepherd. They've seen Jesus do some things. They've been in peace with the shepherd before. They've been in fellowship with the shepherd before. But this time, it's a little bit different. Instead of that table being prepared in front of their enemies, the enemies are wanting to join the flock of God. The Jews that don't like Jesus are coming to Jesus, many of them, multitude of them, coming to him, wanting to see what he can do for them. They want to see the miracles, and they call him the very prophet of God. And what happens? Jesus has compassion on them, and he feeds them. He puts his disciples to work, feeding this new flock in the tableland. He prepared the table before them. Church, I'm thankful for in those times in the table when it's just me and the shepherd. I'm thankful for that. When it's just a flock of God and we're gathered around the shepherd, we've been through the valley, we're now fellowshipping with. I'm thankful for the time of fellowship with the flock of God and with the shepherd. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for those times of fellowship. But I believe what we're missing today, what we need to see today is the fields, like I already said, the fields are white, ready to harvest. The multitude is as sheep having no shepherd. Are you willing to work to share your tableland? The Lord's prepared it before us. He's blessed us. Are you willing to share it? Are we going to share how good God's been to you? There's a multitude out there, and they're starving. They're hungry. They've watched us be blessed by God. They've watched us walk through the valley of shadow of death and come out unscathed. They've seen how our good shepherd is to, how good he is to us. And I believe there are many, not all, but there are many that are wondering, they're wanting to see what we have. What is just Jesus all about? They're coming to him. What can you do? Are you willing to share your tableland? When's the last time you told somebody else about how good God is to you? We want to share. One more thing here. Matthew, before we get to it. Matthew was written to the Jew. Calls this a desert place. Means lonesome, calls it a lonesome place. Mark is written to the Gentiles, probably in Rome, most likely. Calls it a desert, lonesome place. Luke, again, written to the Gentiles, calls it a desert, lonesome place. John is written to the Gentiles as well, and the church calls it a mountain or a tableland. Matthew pictures Jesus as a king, calls it a desert, lonesome. Mark pictures Jesus as a servant, calls it a desert, it's lonesome. Luke pictures Jesus as a man, calls it a desert and lonesome. And then there's John. And what has John been doing this entire book we've been studying? He's been picturing God as a savior of the entire world for whosoever. And he says, it's a mountaintop table there where you can get what you need from the Savior. This isn't a lonesome place. This isn't a desert. This is not a lonesome place. You can be with the shepherd. There may not be anything else around. You can't get food from anywhere else around, but you don't need it because you're in the mountaintop with the shepherd. John says he's the shepherd, and he's already prepared it for us. And says, oh, sinner, he's the Savior. That's what John's book is about. They're preaching about the Savior, telling us who the Savior is. He's the Son of God. He says, come to the mountaintop. Come to the table land and be fed. It may be lonesome to everybody else, but not if you have a shepherd. Church, there's so much more. I feel like I'm barely scratching the surface on this. But I just want to ask you one thing tonight. Are you willing to share the table land? God's been so good to us. We can see, we've talked about that tonight. Are you willing to share it? I'm not trying to paint a false picture for you. It's going to take work. Even when you're tired from the valley, you think you can finally find rest in the table land, it's going to take more work than you're ready for. Are you going to share your table land? There's a multitude out there, sheep having no shepherd. Are you willing to tell them about our shepherd? How will they hear unless we tell them? It says in Romans 10:14, and how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? It's time we go. It's time we share. I feel like we've been following a pattern here lately, not on purpose, not trying to do that. Just through this book of John, Sunday morning, it's been preaching the gospel, and Sunday I've been talking about sharing the gospel. I don't know why that is, but maybe we ought to take heed to it. Are you willing to share the table? Well, thank you for this day. Thank you for already done for us, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. Thank you for this church. Lord, thank you for blessing us like you have. Thank you for being so good to us, Lord. Help us not take it for granted tonight. Help us not forget how good you've been to us, Lord. Help us to share it. Lord, help us to help our outreach. Lord, help us to do more for you. In Jesus' name, amen.